Amen. Okay. We ask Brother Johnson if he would come and preach for us today. Amen.
Okay. You can see these scales down here. A couple years ago, actually, I remember sitting at a place I used to work at up north talking to Brother Jim. I don't know if he remembers or not. And I was reading the book of Daniel, and talks about someone found wanting. And I thought, that's just a perfect time, a perfect phrase to do a message on. So got online, looked on eBay, tried to find these things, and we finally found some, and that was 2 years ago. And I've been trying to come up with a message for those things for 2 years. I put them up on the curio cabinet, and every time I go in the living room, I got to look at them. But anyway, praise the Lord that I was always looking at, I was trying to do a message about salvation, but it doesn't work with the majority of the people in here, or everybody in here, I'm not sure. But then the Lord opened my eyes, you know, there's so many other things that those scales, you could do a message on those balances right there, those scales. And we're going to look at that here today. But I'm thankful after 2 years, I can finally use these things. And then I don't know what I'll do with them. Hide them. But Daniel chapter 5 is where we're going to start this morning. Daniel chapter 5. And we're all familiar with the story. And I don't want to take time to read the whole thing here today. We're going to start in Daniel chapter 5, verse 1. But before we do that, we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day. Just this opportunity to come together as your children and open your word, Father, and have you speak to our hearts here today, Father. So I just pray that you would have your will and way during the service, that you would be glorified, Father. I pray that our eyes would be open to maybe something we've never thought of before, or maybe it's just a refresher course, Father, something that we've let slide in our lives. So, Father, may we be drawn closer to you as a result of this here today. And I just ask that you give me words to say that will glorify you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Okay, so Daniel chapter 5. And I'm going to read the first 6 verses here to start with. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods of gold and of silver, of brass, of iron, of wood, and of stone. Verse 5, in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. Yeah, so would mine, actually, to tell you the truth. We're gonna skip down to verse 13 and 14. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of the captivity of Judah, whom the king my father, which would be Nebuchadnezzar, who is he speaking of here, brought out of jewelry? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. Now we'll read, jump down to verse 17, and we'll read down through 28. Verse 17, then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. And for the majesty that he gave him, all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him. Whom he would, he slew, and whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. I'm going to stop right there just for a second. You know, it's obvious the Lord just hates pride. And another thing I was thinking of here is, wouldn't it be something if everyone that doesn't know the Lord Jesus Christ was made like Nebuchadnezzar and sent out into a field to eat grass, and they were like the animals until they acknowledged God? Yeah, that would be something. But when he talks about here, verse 22, and thou his son, O Belshazzar, has not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. It had only been about a 10-year period, and I'm going to finish reading down through 28 here in a minute. It's only been about a 10-year period from King Nebuchadnezzar to Belshazzar. But in that 10 years, I mean, there was a lot of people killed that were kings that set up, that ruled over the kingdom in that short amount of time. But it was only 10 years, and he knew all that, what happened to Nebuchadnezzar, and he still went down that road. That's just amazing. It's kind of like us too. Romans, we'll get back to here in just a minute, but Romans 15:4. Romans 15:4. We think to ourselves, how could he do that? Well, let's not be too quick here. I mean, Romans 15:4. It says right here, for whatsoever things were written aforetime, and everything in here was written aforetime. Okay, so whatsoever things were written aforetime were for our what? Learning. Yeah. That we, through patience and comfort of the scriptures, might have hope. I just wonder what we're going to have to answer for, even though we knew, but we still didn't do it. Anyway, I'm going to keep reading. There's some thoughts I had as I was reading down through there. Verse 23, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the gods of silver and of gold, of brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know. And the God in whose hand thy breath is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Okay, now he's going to get into interpreting the writing that hand wrote on the wall. This was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Many, many tekel upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Many, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. Peres, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Okay, I just got done asking the pastor too. You know, a little bit confusing here because back in verse 25, it says upharsin. And down in 28, it says peres. I don't know why it says that. But all the Bibles I have at home, and yes, they're all King James Bibles, all the Bibles say the same thing. So I really don't know why it's like that. but it tells you what it means anyway. Thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. But verse 27 is really, a couple years ago, I was reading down through this, and I come across that verse 27, and I'm thinking, boy, that would just make a great message someday. Thou art weighed in the balances, and art found wanting. You know, how many things in our lives that aren't right with God are going to be weighed in the balances that are going to be weighed in on the scales of God's justice, let's put it that way, and we're going to be found wanting. What areas in our lives? You know, I picked off three things. I could have made a list of 100 things, but I picked three things, and I figured if I gave 10, 12 minutes to each one, you know, our time would be up. But so we're going to get to those three things here in a minute. But also, when you read that verse, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. You know, one of the first things that come to my mind is there's going to be a judgment. That's the first thing. It doesn't matter if you know the Lord or you do not know the Lord. You're going to be judged. You know, what's Hebrews 9:27 say? And it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, his judgment. Yeah, it don't matter if the saved or the unsaved. We're going to be judged. We're going to stand at a judgment. You know, for the saved, well, let's just quickly go to 2 Corinthians 5:10. 2 Corinthians 5:10. And it says right here, we're talking about the saved people here, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, every one of us, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. 1 Corinthians 3, let's go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 11 through 15. Now, this is hopefully where everyone in here is going to be. This is their judgment. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So he's our foundation, and we're supposed to build upon that foundation. Verse 12, now if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. Verse 13, every man's work shall be made manifest, no matter what it is, it's going to be made known. For the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work, what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so is by fire. And then we're right here. Let's just go to chapter 4. I want to read the first five verses of chapter 4. Well, I was right here in 1 Corinthians. Let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required in stewards, wouldn't that be us, stewards? Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you, or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self, for I know nothing by myself, yet am I not hereby justified, but he that judgeth me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before the time, until the Lord come, who both will bring to light the hidden things of darkness. A little scary there. And will make manifest the counsels of the hearts. Well, getting a little more scary. And then shall every man have praise of God. Okay, so that's for the saved people. That's their judgment. That's where we'll be. Whether it be good or bad, what we've done is going to be judged. Okay, now for the lost, though, we'll go to Revelation chapter 20, and I'll get to those three points and I better hurry too, or I ain't going to get to them. Revelation chapter 20, 11 through 15. You know, another thing I just realized yesterday, that Revelation chapter 20, verses 11 through 15, we're talking about the great white throne of judgment. But the judgment seat of Christ back in Corinthians is also verses 11 through 15. What's that mean? Absolutely nothing. I just find that interesting that they're both judgments are verses 11 through 15. Has anyone ever noticed that before? It don't really matter. That's just, I thought it was interesting. Okay, Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. Now, if you do not know Jesus Christ, this is your judgment. This here is going to be the judgment. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and the death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And here it is right here. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's the great white throne judgment that all the lost people, even those people back in Matthew chapter 7, all those people who thought they were doing so, all these wonderful works for Christ, that's their judgment right there. Because he says, I never knew you. Well, that just tells me there's a lot of people sitting in church today that's going to experience this judgment. Okay, so going back to Daniel. Okay. Daniel chapter 5, verse 27, I think it was. 5:27, thou art weighed in the balances and are found wanting. So a day of judgment is coming for each one of us, whether saved or lost. If your judgment takes place at the judgment seat of Christ, and you know that's a pretty encouraging thought as we go through our life, because we're going to be judged by who? We're going to be judged by Jesus Christ, the very loving, kind, merciful judge, right? Yeah, that's encouraging, but it's also a little bit scary, because the loving, kind, and merciful judge knows all of our secrets. You know, it's a little scary in that. If we go to Romans 2:16, you know, sometimes we're just thankful we're going to be at the judgment seat of Christ because we know Christ is our Savior. But Romans 2:16 says right here, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. That part's a little bit scary, because we all have memories, thoughts, whatever you want to call it, of our lives that nobody else knows. I mean, yeah, I've been with my wife, it's coming up on 36 next month? 36? 36 years, but I was 33 years before her. So she doesn't know everything about me, but I better know everything about you. No, just kidding. I mean, we all have things that only us know, we think. But Jesus Christ is going to judge those secret things. There's coming a day. We are, you know, we're blessed to have a pastor like Pastor Mike Austin back there. I know we all agree with that. You see, he preaches the entire Bible. He preaches the entire Bible. So, when we're at our judgment, there won't be loss, right? I mean, I'm sure that's in the back of his mind as a pastor of a church, because he has the responsibility of the members of the church. And he doesn't want us to suffer loss come that day of judgment. So he preaches the entire Bible to us. If we go to 2 Timothy 3:16, very familiar verse to all of us here. 2 Timothy 3:16. And it says, all scripture, that's why he preaches the entire Bible, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So we don't suffer that loss come our judgment. You know, we need to be thankful for that. You know, that I'm sure there's a lot of churches, I mean just a lot of churches, that the pastors are afraid to lose the people in the church, so they skip a few parts, whether it be the alcohol or the long hair or the fornication or whatever it might be. They skip that so they don't offend the people, but then those people are going to have to answer for that. We're thankful. We should be thankful that we have a pastor who has a desire to keep us from that. Yeah. So I haven't said all that and used up most of my time. I have three things I want to talk about here this morning. Oh, let's see. That just maybe someone is lacking in their lives this morning. Number one, the first thing that I came up with is, will he find any of us wanting on his scales of justice when it comes to tithing? You say tithing, you're going to stand up there and you're going to ask for money. No, I'm not asking for money. You know what tithing is? Tithing is faith. That's all it is. It's faith in God. Separating people from their money can be a chore sometimes, though. You know, we clutch that wallet, man. You're not getting anything out of mine anyway, because everything's went to plastic now, so you want cash. The most I usually have is $10. You're wasting your time robbing me. But I want to talk about tithing just a little bit here. Okay, let's go to Malachi. Let's just get right on into it. Malachi chapter 3. Another familiar, another one of these tabs broke off. Oh, happens to be Malachi too. But put that right there. Malachi chapter 3. Where's Matthew? Back up. Here we go. Malachi chapter 3. I just want to read verses 8, 9, and 10. Malachi 3, verse 8. Will a man rob God? Yet ye have robbed me. But you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. Two different things there, just for the let you know. Ye are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. And in verse 10 here it says, bring ye all the tithes, which is a tenth, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. It's hard for some people to let go of their money. You know, years ago, I think I've said this before, I remember a time when my three daughters, Isaac wasn't around yet, but my three daughters were little. Well, let me back up just a little bit more than that. When I first got saved and started going to church, you know, I used to write out a tithe and give it to the church. But, you know, I did it for the wrong reasons. I did it to be seen of men. And just to be honest with you, that's why I did it. But you're not fooling the Lord, right? So I'm telling you, man, we fell on some hard times. When I first got saved and started writing out my tithe, it was easy. But we fell on some hard times. I remember when it all changed. I was sitting at the kitchen table, and we were paying the bills, and we got down to where I'm thinking to myself, okay, I have enough. If I wrote a check to the Lord for 10%, I would have $17 left in the checkbook. I remember that number to this day. That was years ago. And there wasn't a savings account. There wasn't a jar out in the backyard filled with money. There was $17 left, and we'd have to buy groceries yet for the entire week for my wife, my three daughters, and myself. But I was tired of the way this was going, of struggling. And I kept reading this verse over and over and over again. And I'm sitting at the table not knowing what to do, whether to buy groceries or give it to the Lord and trust him. And I'll read it again. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. I wanted meat in my house. But the Lord says, bring it in so I can have meat in mine house. And then he goes on to say, improve me. Does he say that anywhere else in the Bible? He wants us to prove him. Why? Because he knows it's hard for us to give up our money, isn't it? He says, prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. And that's what I needed in my life. That there shall not be room enough to receive it. And so finally, make a long story short, I said, okay, Lord, you said to prove you. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to write this check out for 10%. And we're going to be left with $17 to make it through the week. Well, needless to say, we made it through the week. But the point is, I learned that tithing was just having faith in God. And that's a lesson that he taught me. It was a very hard lesson, but I've never forgot that lesson. Now when I write out a tithe, I don't want people to see it. I don't care if people see it. It ain't none of their concern. It's just me having faith in God. You know, back up to verse 9, if you would, please. And it says, ye are cursed with a curse, for ye have robbed me, even this whole nation. You know, I'd rather have 90% blessed by God than have 100% cursed by God. Stop and think about that for a minute. It's not even a decision to be made. I want that 90% blessed by God than 100% cursed by him. And I was keeping the 100% and he cursed it. I give him the bare minimum of 10%. I mean, offerings are a different thing. So when it comes to a tithe and you write out your 10% or whatever it is, as long as it's at least that, the Lord's going to take care of you. Will he take care of you the way he has me and my family? I have no idea. He says to prove him, though. And it's all about faith. You remember that, hon, when we had that $17? We ate good that week. Faith is just trusting and believing God, right? Isn't that what it is? Hebrews 11:6, if you would, please. Hebrews 11:6. For those who want to rob God, let's just take a look at Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, and that's what tithing is, it's having faith in God. And it says right here, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know, Jesus said, and if we don't have faith in God, we're not pleasing him. That's the point behind the verse. Jesus said you can't serve God and money, right? And we go to Matthew 6:24. Matthew 6:24. And it says here, no man can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. The Bible says you cannot do it. It's one or the other. Let's not be found wanting. On this point number one, let's not be found wanting on the scales of God's justice when it comes to tithing. Now, I'm a member of this church. I see the financial report. This doesn't look to me like the church as a whole has a problem or an issue with tithing. But that don't mean everyone in here, nor does that mean a year from now, nor does that mean 5 years from now that you won't have a problem tithing. But I just want you to keep in mind. I want you to keep in mind, you give God what he requires, and he will bless the rest. Amen. He will bless the rest. Let's not be found wanting when it comes to tithing, which is nothing more than having faith in God. Number two, will we be found wanting on the scales of God's justice when it comes to obeying the commandments of God? John 14:15. And this is one of them verses where there's no need to wonder what he's talking about. I mean, he just plain tells you. John 14:15, if ye love me, keep my commandments. Should we keep 80% of them? You know, 9 out of 10? About 95 out of 100. The last I looked, I Googled to see how many commandments were in the Bible. There was over 1,000. Did you know, Pastor, how many? No, I don't either, but there was over 1,000. But those commandments that we do know, he expects us to keep every one of them. Every one. He says, if you love me, we all say we love Christ, and we do. But he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Let's not be found wanting when it comes to the commandments of our Lord and Savior. You can't be a friend and an enemy of the Lord's at the same time. It can't be done, but people try to do it because they don't want to obey every commandment. Every commandment. You know, the one we struggle with the most is, love one another. We struggle with that the most. And I don't want to get too far off here. That's just one thing. Love one another. You know, some people are too tall for you. Some are too short. Some are too skinny. Some are too fat. Some talk too loud. Some are too quiet. I mean, I'm thankful for the small church. What is there, 40, 50 of us in here? Because we know each other. You get some of these bigger churches, and I can only imagine you got your groups in these bigger churches. They're not loving one another. Loving one another is seeing your needs and doing something about that need. It's you seeing my need and doing something about that need. It's loving one another. It's looking out for one another. It's taking care of one another. It's praying for one another. Jesus can't be our Lord when we don't do what he says to do, or don't do what he commands us to do. It's, you know, it's wickedness to disobey God. Yeah. It's wickedness to disobey God. James 4:17, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, it is what? Sin. Yeah. Exactly. You know, there's churches out there today that teach you could be saved and willfully sin. Because this is the age of grace, right? Well, that's just not so. There's no truth in that whatsoever. Let's go to Matthew 15:8-9. Matthew 15:8-9. It says right here, well, let's back up to verse 7. It says, ye hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy of you, saying, this people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth and honoreth me with their lips. See, we can all do that. But their heart is far from me. Now, who searches the heart? The Lord does. So he knows. But in vain do they worship me, verse 9, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Let's just not be found wanting on the scales of God's justice when it comes to keeping his commandments. Because if we are, there's judgment day coming. And there's going to be a loss. There's going to be a loss. Notice with me 1 Samuel 15. He just wants us to obey, that's all. 1 Samuel 15:22-23. He just wants obedience. And when he commands us, we call him Lord. Lord means master. So when our master tells us to do something, he just wants us to obey. That's all. 1 Samuel 15, 22 and 23. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion, and if we're not obeying the Lord's commandments, that is rebellion. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry, because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord. And if we do not do what he commands us to do, we are rejecting the word of the Lord. He hath also rejected thee from being king. Now, if we go to Luke 6:46, it's all about obedience. Will we be found wanting when it comes to just obedience to the Lord? Luke 6:46, and it says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" That don't even make sense, does it? Call him Lord means the master of our life, and yet we're not going to do what he says. Excuse me. John 15, we'll go to John 15, 10 through 14. John 15, 10 through 14. And it says here, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments," and this is Jesus talking, "and abide in his love. Verse 11, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy might be full." So what, from those two verses right there, from that verse 11, what I'm getting at is, if you want joy in your life, keep his commandments. By not keeping his commandments, you're not going to have the joy that he wants you to have. Verse 12, "This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you." That's where we fall short, though. I mean, he loves us. We can't hardly comprehend how much he loves us and the things he does for us. He wants us to do that for others. Verse 13, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." Now, Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and he's calling us his friends, right? Excuse me. Verse 15, "Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant..." Oh, excuse me, verse 14. "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." So, there it is right there. I mean, he just wants us to obey. And he wants us to obey his commandments. Okay, and point number two is, at our judgment, let's not be found wanting on the scales of God's justice when it comes to just keeping his commandments. Several times in Scripture, he tells us, just keep my commandments, just obey my voice. Let's not be found wanting there. Let's not be found wanting. I got to hurry. It's already 12 o'clock. Point number three, the third thing. Will any of us be found wanting when it comes to seeking God? When it comes to seeking God. Matthew 6:33, if we go there real quick. Matthew 6:33, it says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." What are all those things? Well, you have to go back and read the chapter. But he'll take care of us. He'll provide the material things in our lives if we seek him first. Let's not be found wanting when it comes to seeking God. You know, I've said this before. I wonder how many people who are truly saved have never read the entire Word of God. Do you think there's anybody like that? Yeah, there's people like that. Have never read the entire Word of God. We're going to have a judgment. I don't know how we're supposed to obey the Word of God if we don't know what the Word of God says. The true Christian is defined by his or her seeking, right? That which we love, we seek. That which we love, we seek. Whether it be gold or God. Hopefully we are here this morning because we are seeking him. Hopefully we're here today, this morning, because we are seeking him. But being here this morning is not enough. It's good that we're here, but that's not enough when it comes to seeking God. Don't think we can leave here today and say, I'm good for another week. No, it don't work that way. We need to search the pages of the Bible and seek Jesus. That's what we need to do. We need to seek his will for our lives, seek his promises, and seek his commandments, and we need to do it daily. We need to do it daily. Proverbs 8:17, if you would please, Proverbs 8:17. You know, I'm convinced, though, really, if we had true Christians, if all the true Christians were daily seeking the Lord, we'd live in a different country. We'd live in a different country. And I think 2 Chronicles 7:14 alludes to that. Yeah. But the problem is we have too many Christians, and I'm not talking about this, I'm not talking about anybody in here or this church per se. I'm talking about Christians, true children of God, that don't get in his word. Where am I going? Proverbs 8:17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. 1 Chronicles 16:11, if you would please. 1 Chronicles 16:11. Let's not be found wanting when it comes to seeking the Lord. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. Continually. Jeremiah 29:13, please. Jeremiah 29:13. It says, and ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Ye shall find him. Let's not be found wanting on the scales of God's justice when it comes to seeking the Lord. Now, I got to close here because I'm out of time. But, you know, like I said when I first started, if it would have been easy to do a message on these scales right here for the lost. And I've often thought I wished every one of these seats were filled up with nothing but lost people. I really mean that. I mean, I'd love to stand up here and give them the gospel. I'd love to show them that all their good works, their money, their baptism, they push the scale down like that, and they think they're pretty good until Christ gets on the other side. And it goes just like that. So if you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, you are going to be found severely wanting at your judgment. And I really haven't got time to go down through. I got another page. But let me just say Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Shall be saved. You know, whatever it is in our life that we're found wanting, and there's lots of areas. I just picked three. Whatever it is, and you know about your life, and I know about mine, and the Lord knows about all of us. But those areas today that we have on our side right here that we know we're lacking, right? Well, 1 John, let's just go there real quick. 1 John 1, 9. 1 John 1, 9. Well, let's start in 8. 1 John 1, 8. You know, for those things we know we're lacking, we're wanting on the scales of God's justice, the Lord, if we confess those to him, he's going to take them out of there. And we're not going to be judged for those things. He's going to take them out of there. There's no need to suffer the loss. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, that's confessing what's we know is lacking. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So let me just say here, and I'll be done, that whatever it is in our lives, that we're found wanting right now. It doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be that way. For the saved people, all we got to do is confess it. And he'll take it out of there and we won't be judged. And we won't be judged by those things. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, place your faith and trust in him. And you won't be found wanting when it comes to salvation. Okay, let's just love Jesus more. Let's just love him more. Let's be quick to do his will. Because in the end, it'll be worth it all. It'll be worth it all. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we do thank you again for this day and this opportunity to look into your word, Father. You're such a gracious and a loving and a kind Father. Father, you treat us, well, we're your children, and you treat us like your children, and so many times we don't act like your children. So, Father, I just ask that you forgive us, and I thank you that if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Father, help us to do better in the days ahead than we did last week. Help us to attain that higher ground spiritually that we've never attained before, Father. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for all the commandments that you give us, Father. We know that they are for our good. That's what's best for us. So, Father, help us not to be found wanting in any areas of our life. Come our judgment. The book you have left us, your word, is designed to make us perfect. Father, help us to be in it. Help us to seek you. Oh, thank you so much for what you've done for us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.